There you are. Welcome to part four and our conclusion of Change Your World. Is anybody enjoying this? Come on. Is anybody enjoying this series? I want to give a shout out before we get started to our Cross Point Kids Dream Team. And I just want to just tell you, you're the best. I just appreciate everything that is being done with our kids and all the ministry that happens there from week to week. And especially want to thank those on the Dream Team that maybe not even were a part of the kids' Dream Team, but that came and helped yesterday and put their hands and feet to a lot of work that is happening over at our kids' church. And I just want to say there's some great things happening. We're actually in the process of some renovation over there. If you're wondering what some of what's happening there, and we're just really cleaning house. Some of you actually may have noticed the U-Haul truck in the back corner of the lot, that 26-foot. That 26-foot truck is full of what that building used to be full of, and it's going to the dump, okay? All right, I'm just letting you know we have cleaned house, and we are starting anew and afresh, and it's going to be exciting. We've got some great cleaning going on right now over there, and then we're going to open it up for Vacation Bible School. After that, we're going to close it right back up, and we're probably going to be closed for a couple of months over there because we've got something exciting coming. Anybody excited about that? you need to be because when you see it, it's going to be phenomenal, and we're just updating and getting ourselves current just with being able to reach young people and for Christ. And so I just want to say I appreciate all those that were able to go and be a part of that process yesterday. Also had a team from the church, a team of leaders, some of you may or may not know about this, that actually went to a leadership conference this week, and I appreciate those of you that have come and been able to go with us on that journey, and we're excited about some of the things that is happening here at Crosspoint. And here's what I've discovered is that, you know, people just don't need more information. You know, and sometimes we give information, we educate ourselves, we get Christian education, but really, this thing is more caught than taught. And so I think that was an exciting thing that happened this week, is that we were able to go and actually get into a culture and catch some things and hopefully come back and be that culture that's life-giving, that you can catch it and it can spread and we can see the kingdom of God increase. So really, really excited about that because I believe this. I believe that, you know, you don't just need more information. We actually need to experience things. And so my prayer this morning is that you've come in here today, that you just won't get more information, but I pray that you will experience the presence of God. That's been our prayer. There was a team here yesterday, a prayer team yesterday, praying and interceding for God to move just on this service. All right? I mean, these chairs have had hands laid on them. We've been walking around here and laying our hands on the doors and praying, and all for today, all for what's happening right now. Not that you'll just get information, but that you will experience the presence of God, right? And so I hope that you're getting this, because it's not just about coming to church and taking notes, and I hope you're finding those useful, the message notes that we have, but it's more than just gathering information. Really, we need to encounter God's presence, and that's one of our values here, is that you'll encounter the cross. At Crosspoint, our prayer is that you actually encounter the cross, because, look, guys, we need an experience with God. We need a face-to-face relationship with Him, and that sets up what we're going to be moving into next week. We're going to be going into a series that we're going to be talking about prayer and about what it means to really have that personal relationship with God, because it's not about religion, it's not about form, it's about a relationship. Because one day when we stand before Jesus, there's going to be many that will say, "Hey, Lord, I knew you. I did this and this for you." And He says, "That was religion. I don't know you. What I was looking for was relationship," right? Right, so it's about relationships. So we're going to have a time of focusing on prayer, but also along with that, we're going to be doing what we did at the beginning of the year, and that is we're going to be doing 21 days of prayer. Now, at the beginning of the year, it was 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, in August, if you like, it can be for you 21 days of prayer and feasting. That'll be okay. You know, if you like to feast, that's okay. But I want you to pray, because you know what? I got a thumbs up on that, by the way. But anyway, I just want to let you know that sometimes when we get in the middle of the summer and, you know, we kind of get in the, you know, we got a lot going on and we got the kids home for school and we got trips we're doing, and sometimes we're so tired from our vacation, we need a vacation from the vacation. And, you know, we just need to catch our breath. And sometimes we forget what it's all about. And I think it's a good time during August before we launch some things in the fall. And by the way, we're going to be launching some things this fall. If there's ever a great time to launch some things, it's in the fall in harvest time, right? And we're going to begin some things. And so to preface that, it needs to be built on prayer. Everything we do around here needs to be founded and based upon prayer. Prayer will build His church. Prayer will build you. Prayer will build your family. Prayer will build your business. Prayer will build your children, right, everybody? Everything we do has to be based on prayer. The reason you're sitting in a building this morning is because a lot of prayer went up. When nothing else would work, we decided we'd do 40 days of prayer and fasting, and praise God, we got a building you're sitting in today. And I want to tell you, the way we'll fill this building is prayer, right? And so I want you to invite you to join me in this time of prayer. And what that means is that just as we did in January, we're going to meet here beginning August 3rd through August the 23rd. And we're going to have those days from Monday through Friday. Get this, from 7 a.m. Everybody smile when I say 7 a.m., all right? 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. sharp. It'll begin 7 o'clock sharp, end 8 o'clock sharp, because I know you got places to go. It's so important that I actually requested from my boss. I work a secular job. You probably know that. If you don't, now you do. And I went to my boss and I said, I really would like to change my schedule because they've got me coming in earlier than that. And they've revised my schedule an hour so I can come and be with you here, meet with you here at 7. And if that fits in your schedule, we'd love to have you here. And if you can't do that, we're going to be live streaming with other churches. And we'll give you the information how that you can do that, and you can connect as well if you're getting breakfast ready for the kids or whatever and be praying with us. And on the end of that time, on the 23rd, we're going to have a wonderful time of prayer breakfast before it starts, and just going to have a wonderful time. On Saturdays, it will occur at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11 each Saturday. So I'm excited, very, very, very excited about that. Well, let's go into our series, Change Your World. And I want to just say, I've loved this series, and I really think this is what this thing is all about. I think this series helps us understand it's not about us, it's about those that have yet to hear. And I think we really need to get ourselves oriented. In fact, if you want to grow as a person, you need to understand it's not about you. If you think it's all about you, you're shrinking as a person. You don't develop in your Christian faith. But when you understand it's about others, you'll grow. You'll grow. Amen? And so we're looking at Change Your World, this series. The first week we talked about the stewardship of influence that's needed. And I believe that God expects us to be a good steward of the influence He has given us. And yes, He has given each of us a sphere of influence. We actually looked at seven streams of influence, which is church, government, arts and entertainment, education, business, media, family, these streams that are present in our society. And the goal is that in those streams of influence, we become the good influence that influences the culture and influences for Christ. That's another value of our church, to engage the culture. That doesn't just mean just get in the culture. It means bring God's culture to this culture, right? Bring hope where there's hopelessness. And so we talked about that in week one. And then week two, we brought it a little more personal, and we talked about my sphere of influence. It's not just the big people that are at the top has the influence. Every one of us has influence, and we looked at what that was about. And then last week, we looked at the most excellent way influence happens in relationship. It's those relationships. It's loving people, and life change doesn't happen with just information. It happens in relationship. In fact, I remember it might have been a couple of years ago that we actually had one of our earliest small groups here at the Home of the Zyners. And I remember sitting around the table there in the home, and we went around in the circle. And one of the things I did, I asked every person, I said, share how you came to Christ. For those of you that are there, you might remember that. I said, share how you come to Christ. And can I just tell you that in every one of them, without exception, it was a relationship that brought someone to Christ. It was a one-on-one relationship with somebody that influenced their life and brought them to Christ. And so here at Crosspoint, small groups are very, very, very important, that we get in relationship with people and win them to Christ. So And small groups, let me just tell you, it's not just about getting more information, because people don't care what you know. They just want to know that you care, right? Right? And so right now we're in a break with our small groups, but on August the 31st, we're going to be launching some small groups. My desire is that every one of you find your place in a small group. And even some of you, I would encourage to lead a small group. If you're not in a small group, you might even want to start a small group around your interest or around your group, not doing something that's awkward and different, but what you're already doing, taking that and turning it into a group that would be life-giving. Today, I want us to look at this topic, and that is that this happens one person at a time. In fact, when Jesus called his disciples, here's what he told them. He said, I want to make you into something. And it might, and really it was probably something different than what they thought it was going to be, but he said, I'm going to make you into something. And sometimes when Jesus comes into our life, we think, you know, God's going to do something in my life. And he's going to do something for me. And sometimes we may picture it this way, that when God comes into my life, if I accept him into my life, he's going to make me more spiritual. You know, he's going to make me nicer. And he's going to make my life better. He's going to make me better. And he's going to make me a better husband or a better wife. Or some may be even thinking, God's going to bless me and make me wealthier, you know, whatever. You know, we have these concepts sometimes of what it means. Or maybe God's going to make me more generous or more religious. But when Jesus comes and he calls us, he turns us into something different than what you and I might expect. Look at how when he called the disciples, and he used their language of their trade in Mark chapter 1, a verse that you do not have there in your notes. It's up here on the screen for you. That's where he said, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. And he says, I'm going to make you to have influence in the life of another person. And so really what this topic is about this morning is something that we know as evangelism. Now, that may scare some people, and some people may say, well, I'm not about evangelism. And some people have different thoughts of evangelism. Some people say, I can't do that. I can do this, but I can't do evangelism. But I want to show you this morning, every one of us are called to do evangelism. And that shouldn't scare us, because I want to look at some of the myths and the misconceptions that we have as it relates to evangelism, and help us understand really what evangelism is all about. In fact, you can't escape this topic. It's everywhere. It's all through Scripture. It is the Great Commission. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of evangelists. I actually, a long time ago, had somebody come to the church, actually from the community, and this was years ago, and this lady was coming. She was loving it, and finally, one day, she invited her husband. And he didn't speak very good English, but we could make out one thing. He got really upset, and he said, he's an evangelist, he's an evangelist, he's an evangelist. And he took her away because this thing, he looked at me, and he pictured me as an evangelist. I don't know what you picture when you think of an evangelist. You know, you might picture a guy with a three-piece suit on and his hair sprayed down real good and white shoes and a flamboyant personality, you know, and a guy that does a lot of crazy stuff and, you know, and maybe is on TV. I'm just saying. But this morning, I was to realize that, think of evangelism as a different, from a different point, and that is that when you think of an evangelist, think of the person who won you to Christ. Think of the person who had influence in your life that caused you to come to Christ. That's an evangelist. Actually, and when you think of that person, you probably think of someone that was nice, that was kind, and that was patient. That's an evangelist. Someone that showed you the love of Christ and brought you into relationship with a loving God. That's an evangelist. And look at another scripture that, again, you don't have at your that you do not have there in your notes on the screen for you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus put it this way, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You need to underline that word, witnesses. In a courtroom, there is a prosecutor, and there is a defender. You know, you got the prosecutor, he's coming after you, you know, and he's going to point fingers, and he's going to accuse you, right? And then there's the defender, and the defender is saying, no, he didn't do that, really. He, you know, and let me defend my client here, and let me help here. But our job, look at this, our job is not to do either one of those. Because some of us think that to be an evangelist or to be a Christian or to win others, we have to prosecute. In other words, you're a sinner. You did wrong. You're going to hell. You know, we're going to prosecute you. I'm telling you, I can see how by looking at you, you're going to hell. Y'all like that two-syllable word, don't you? Anyway, we're from the South. You know, that's just what we do. But then you got others that say, well, no, we're to be a defender. We got to defend every argument. We got to be able to explain the Bible through and through. We got to start in Genesis and Revelation. And for every argument, we got to come up with another good argument, right? And by the way, listen, people don't need an argument. That's not going to win them. What they need is an example, right? And what they really need is an experience, because you can't really argue with a changed life, right? Right? So our job, but what Jesus was saying was our job is that we are to be a witness. That's also in the courtroom. There's a witness, and the witness comes just to tell their side of the story. You know, let me tell you what I experienced. Let me tell you about my story. And that's what Jesus said we would really be. We would be a witness. And I believe that people do care about your story. People do care about your witness. People do care about what you have to know. People don't want to hear it. We might think people don't want to have, or think it was. No, that's not true. I'm going to tell you, that's not true. In fact, in a recent Gallup poll, get this, of the 65 million people who will go to no one's church today, all right? Of the 65 million people who will go to no one's church today, 34 million of the 65 million would go if someone would just invite them. That's staggering. That's staggering. And that same poll also says, of all the topics that teenagers are talking about today, drugs, dating, music, movies, internet, YouTube, friends, the number one topic is spirituality. What does that mean? It means that God is already at work in someone's life, and he just needs us to understand how the process works and cooperate with him and enjoy the ride, right? He just needs us to be there to be that witness. This is your destiny. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, you fish for feet. You fish for men, okay? If you're a follower for Jesus, he says I'm going to make you fishers of men. That is what we do. If you're a follower of Christ, that is what we do. Okay? And so we need to learn how to enjoy reaching out to someone and how it really is life-giving. You can't get away from it. People a lot of times will say no, and they say, bring me something else. You know, this is not my topic today. This is not my topic. You know, that's not me. I need something more for me. I'm going through some things right now. I need something for me. And in fact, many would say, bring me something deep, Pastor. We got this. This is 101. Bring me something deep. And here's deep for you. Here's deep. I'm going to give you deep today. Ready? Live the Bible. Don't just learn the Bible, right? Live the Bible. Don't just learn the Bible. And honestly, I think in a lot of our experiences in church, we come in, we learn the Bible, we go back, we live a different way. That's deep. Come on. Somebody say, that's deep. That's deep. All right. The person drowning deep in their problems doesn't need the Greek word for life raft, right? They just need you to throw them one, right? Are y'all with me today? They just need you to throw them one. Look at what Mark 16:15 says. Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. 2 Timothy 4:2-5 says, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. It goes on to say, work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Now look what he says there. He says, work at telling. In other words, work at it. Work at it. Practice it. Work at that. Practice. If you're not good at it, work at it. And here's what will happen. He says, and fully carry out the ministry God has given to you. There will be you'll be able to fulfill the Great Commission when you do that. A lot of people will say, well, I just really need to know God's will. You know, what is God's will for my life? I just read it to you. Well, no, I need a little more detail than that. That's it. Just do that. And everything that you are doing, right? The gospel is as you go gospel. Carry the good news as you go. Look at Romans chapter 10, another scripture. It's not in your notes. Well, I just want to share this with you. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. How beautiful are your feet that carry the gospel. How does it happen? It happens one person at a time. So I want to give you some things that might help you in understanding how to do that one person at a time. Number one, become aware. Just become aware. There are needs all around us, everywhere. And we just need to become aware. Sometimes we overlook them, and we overlook the opportunities that we have. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. This is what one simple thing I want us to see, and that is that there is a process. Sometimes we think we've got to do everything in one day, in one moment, and get everything done right there. But sometimes God has to take people through a process. And when we understand that process, I believe it might take some of the pressure off of you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6, it says that my work was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollo's work was to water it, but it was God, not we, who made the garden grow in your heart. And so he's saying there may be times in your life where you're going to sow, and somebody else is going to come along and water. There may be other places where someone else has planted, and you've come along and water. And it may be on your watch that you reap, but there's no credit to one or the other. The credit and the glory goes to God because he's the one that gives the increase, right? And so, but there is a process. At times, there is sometimes there's even a breaking up, the Bible calls it, of fallow ground. there's the loosening of the dirt. What is the dirt talking about? It's the soil. It's of the heart. It's that place of the heart where the seed has to find good soil. And sometimes it has to be broken up and become fertile where it can be receptive to the Word of God. And God takes people through a process for that to happen. And then when that happens, then the seed is sown in good soil. And then after that, it has to be watered. Anybody know anything about sowing? You know, you got to have rain. So there's got to be a water. And so there's a process in a person's life where before it will bring forth life. And so I've just put this down that I have that's a very, very simple part of a process there in your notes. And let me just flow through these very quickly. And this is kind of where somebody starts. We're going to call it -6, a point below that ground zero where somebody starts in this process. And it begins oftentimes, people begin with furthest away from God. They're resistant. Let me just share this with you, and that is oftentimes people are resistant because of hurt, two things, hurt or fear. They don't understand, so they're fearful, standoffish, I don't get it, you know, it's weird, I'm not familiar with that, they're fearful. Also, it may be because of hurt. There's hurt in someone's life, and they don't want to hear it because there's been hurt in their life, and there's pain, and they don't know how to get past that. But if we would become aware to that, and be sensitive to that and understand where those needs are, and we speak into that with love and in season and with wisdom and led by the Spirit of the Lord, it leads them to -5, which is receptive. And that's where you got to really use a lot of wisdom, where when someone has a hurt, you don't come with a quick religious answer back, like you got it all together. But you get in there with them and you understand their hurt, you understand their pain, you understand their fear. And you say, yeah, I've been hurt too. I've been places where I've been fearful too. And you begin to share with them your story, where you speak into their life and hopefully they take that next step of becoming receptive. And then it brings them to another point, and that is as they see your life and then they watch you, they get to negative four, which is seeking. And they start seeking out where's the answer. In fact, sometimes if you'll live a life before somebody, they'll come to you and start asking you, and you don't have to cram it down people's throat. You follow me? And so there's a seeking step there where they actually get to the point they realize that life's not working. In other words, they understand life stinks. It's not working. There's nothing working here. In fact, that's why you can have a confidence in the process that God's going to take people through this process, because we've got something to offer that does work. And there's nothing in the world that works. No matter what they look like and how good they think they've got it and how they may appear on the outside, I guarantee they're absolutely... They're positively, I'm just telling you, there's nothing that works out there. Their way doesn't work. And sooner or later, they're going to discover that. They're going to discover that it's a life of misery. And when that happens, they come seeking for a better answer. And then that brings them to negative three, and that is considering. Perhaps when they come to the point where they realize that their way is not working, they begin to consider, maybe there's a better way. And then as we speak into their life and share with them, it brings them to negative two, which is understanding. And you help bring the understanding that this thing is not about religion, but it's about relationship. And you would be surprised how many people, folks, have never discovered that. You might take it for granted, but there's a lot of people that have never understood that this thing is all about a loving God that cares for them, wants to wrap his arms around them and love them forever. Amen? And so it brings them to a point of understanding, and then it brings them to this point, negative one, which is they're ready. And this is where we really see that there's, and this is haunting, there's 34 million people that are ready and waiting for an invitation to come to Christ that says, I would come if I just had somebody to invite me. And that's where we come in, and we invite them. And then it brings, we're able to bring them to zero, ground zero, and that's new life in Christ. New life in Christ. And then life begins, but then on the other side of that, there's still a few more steps that we all have to understand, and that is that the positive one there is belonging. And what that means is now that you are come to Christ, there's a place of belonging, and there are some next steps in that family that need to be taken. We need to be taking some next steps. We need to be growing. It isn't that we're at ground zero and that's the end of it. No, we're belonging, and now there are some next steps, and we're continuing to grow. You're just beginning to grow. It's just a journey that's just beginning. And then number two, that brings us to growing. Those steps bring us to growing. We start discovering things. That's why today we are offering, and we're going to offer this every month. It's going to be here for your friends when they come here. And that is a place where they can begin to understand this growing process. Today is 401, how to be fulfilled, how to get on a dream team, how to find out what your calling is, and to do it. And by the way, we didn't create this wheel and this dream team just for you to go through it. That was cool class. Now we're going to sit down and do the same thing. No, it is to get on a dream team and be here serving others and fulfilling what God's called you to do. Amen, everybody? So I invite you to that today. Positive four is serving. That's what that dream team is. It's serving. A lot of what God has for you will never be discovered until you get here at this point. Are you following me? A lot of what God has for you, what we need from God will never really be discovered until you get to this point of serving, and which will bring you then to positive four, and that is sharing. Sharing, and that's when you're really fulfilled. And that's you being a witness and you sharing with others for the rest of your life. You'll be fulfilled in that. Evangelism has been worded this way. Evangelism is understanding how God is already at work in your life. He's already at work in your life, right? He's already at work in your life. He is at work in your life. I heard the story. I shared this actually this week of a guy who was in a church, and he came to the pastor and wanted to have a meeting with the pastor, and he came to him, and the secretary said, he really wants to meet with you bad. He really needs to meet with you. And so he said, all right, see him in. So he came in, he sat down, and he said, I don't believe in God. I believe in evolution. And he began to go through all what he believed and didn't believe. And the pastor said, wait a minute. Why are you, let me ask you a question. Why are you here? Why are you here? And he said, you're come to talk to a pastor about evolution? Why did you come to seek a pastor out? And he said, well, I've been coming to your church, and I've just, been coming in. I just wanted to talk to you about this. And he said, okay, hold up. He said, you've been coming to the church, and he said, and you want to talk about evolution. He said, let me just tell you this. He said, we'll have this conversation later. He said, but I want to tell you that there's something else going on. You're not here for evolution. So the fact of the matter is that God's been messing with you. And you've been coming, and you're trying to figure out whether this thing is real or not. And you're really, God's messing in your heart, and you're trying to just figure out whether this is real. He said, wait. We'll have this conversation later. He said, here's what we're going to do. He said, you keep coming. And one day, while you're in worship, and we're in church, you're going to encounter the presence of God. You're going to experience Him. And when that happens, he said, you just let me know. Just slip up that hand and let me know. And he said, it's going to happen in your life. Well, he said, all right, I'll keep coming. But I don't think anything's going to happen. Pastor said, six weeks to the day in a Sunday morning service, the pastor's given the invitation, his hands raised, and he looks over, and this guy's right over in this section, and he's like, here I am, it's me, and tears are streaming down his face, and he's coming to Christ. Why? Because he found out that this thing was real, and he opened his heart to God. And I want you to tell you, sometimes we think people are hard, and they got this issue going on, and well, they'll say, they can actually close the door completely on you and say, well, I'm an agnostic, I'm an atheist. And for some of us, we'd say, well, let's just walk away. Forget that case. That's a hard case. Let me go find somebody real nice to win. Or we find somebody that's real mean and hard-faced, and just meanest guy in the office, and we say, well, that's the last one I could witness to. Let me go find this sweet, nice person over here and see if they'll come to church with me. Let me tell you something. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and reveal to us, look, beyond the look of their face, into the need of their heart, right? And be able to be open to the Holy Spirit and minister to them, because, look, we don't realize what's going on in people's lives. They're wrestling with stuff. There's a reason why they're mean, because it ain't working, because they're miserable, right? And allow God to work through us and use us. Number two, I'm going to move quickly through this. A lot of notes you left, right? Don't worry, we're going to rush through. We're going to get through all this, all right? Number two, commit to prayer. Commit to prayer. Let me just give you some very simple things here, because what this will take, and we're going to be getting into this thing of prayer, and that's we got to pray them into heaven. We got to pray. This thing does not work without prayer. All the programs, all the tools, all the neat stuff will not work without prayer. And you're not going to win somebody to Christ unless you pray for them. And here's how we need to pray. First of all, pray that the Father would draw them to Jesus. John 6:44 tells us that no one can come to the Father except they're drawn, right? Unless He draws them. So we need to pray that it's Him. That you can't draw them, you can't drag them, you can't push them, but the Spirit of God will draw them, right? Next thing we need to pray is pray against the spirit that binds their minds. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. So we need to pray against that and pray that God would open their eyes. This morning in our prayer, in our huddle this morning with the dream team, our prayer was, God, let this be an open heaven today. Remove all distractions and everything, God, that would hinder, and open their eyes that they can see, right? So we need to pray in that way. And then we need to pray that they come to know God relationally. This relationship, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, talks about this relationship being an adoption to sonship, an adopted child. Right? Adopted, where we cry, Abba, Father, it's a relation. So just pray that they come into relationship with God and that God will cause people to come in their paths. Look at this in Matthew chapter 9. Pray that believers will cross their paths and enter into a positive relationship with them. What we're praying there is, if we can't get to them, God, would you send somebody there? Look, God, would you send a cool Christian? Don't send the bad ones, God. Don't send the mean ones. God sent a good person in their life to be an influence in their life, right? And then ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send forth workers into his harvest, Matthew chapter 9 tells us. And so we pray for a revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done for them. And just use those as a guide. Ephesians chapter 1 says, I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may he give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Number three, show that you care. Show that you care. And I've given you a story there that's found in Luke chapter 19. And you all know the story. It's there for you. I'm not even going to read it. But the story is that Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in a tree. He was seeking for something better. And Jesus pointed him out, said, I'm going to your house. And Jesus befriended him, and he got criticized. I would dare say it was the churchy folk that criticized him, that said, well, he's hanging out with a sinner. I don't get that. But Jesus was relational, and he showed that he cared. And you know what happened? A tax collector got saved and said he's going to give back everything he's stolen, and those that he's done wrong, he's going to give them back four times as much, right? Look, and he said salvation had come to his house. And then he goes on in that story to say that he's come to save the lost souls. That's why he's doing this. And we have to do that. That's why we do this, is to care for people. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, though I am free and belonging to no man, I make myself a slave to no one. And to win as many as possible, I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessings. And number four, be ready to share. Be ready to share. Be ready to share. 1 Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks and to give the reason for the hope that you have. Acts chapter 20, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. It's good, everybody. Why wouldn't you want to share something that's good? So I want to encourage you, as we go into this season, before we launch into fall, pray for people. Pray that God will give you opportunities. Pray that God will give you divine appointments, right? When you get up, God, give me divine appointments. God, give me intersections with people. Let the intersections begin, Lord. And whoever I meet today, it's not by accident. It's an opportunity to pour into their life. And I'm telling you, folks, if we will live our life intentional, I'm telling you, we can double in no time, right? We can see the kingdom of God increase. We say, Pastor, is this all about us filling up these seats and just you getting a big church? No. It's not about me. It's not about this building. It's not about an institution. It's not about a name. Let me tell you what it's about. Heaven is real and hell is real. You know why this is an important message? Because eternal souls matter to God. And this life is just a vapor, but heaven and hell is an forever place, right? How long is eternity? As a child, I used to sit, try to figure that out. My mind would go and go and go. I'd do another one. I'd try to figure out, there's no beginning to God. There's no beginning to God. I'd go back. And, I mean, you want to, my mind would just go, you know. That's why I act the way I do. I would sit around and try to think of weird things like that. Eternity is forever, folks. This life is just a vapor. But we put so much focus on this life. And I'm telling you, if we can be eternity focused and focus on eternal souls, I'm going to tell you, it'll change your life. It'll change how you live. We need to be intentional every day of our life. God, use me to be a witness for you. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Thank you, God, for this wonderful opportunity we have to share the good news. And for many of us, we know the good news. But God, it's a shame if we don't share it. It's a shame if we don't share it. It's a shame. It's a shame. In fact, your word tells us that to know good and do it not, to him it is sin. So I would even say it's sinful if we have the good news and we're not willing to share it. So God, would you help us to understand through the guidance of your Holy Spirit practical ways that we can share this life-giving message to others? God, if we would catch this, not just hear this, God, if we would catch this, if we would understand, God, your passion. And I truly believe this. I believe the closer we get to you, the more we hear your heartbeat. And the more we hear your heartbeat, the more we hear your heart is beating for souls, and it becomes our heartbeat. God, when we delight ourselves in you, you'll give us the desires of our heart. Not our desires, but the desires of our heart that come from you, which is your desire, and your desire is souls. Lord, help us, God, to catch this. And God, I'm asking for this. I'm asking for this morning, right now, here, on this last Sunday of July 2014. I'm asking you this of you as a pastor of this church. God, make us a soul-winning church. Make us a soul-winning church. Make us a soul-winning church. Make us a church that's not inward-focused, but that's outward-focused. It's focused on others. God, don't let us be a selfish church. Help us not to be self-absorbed Christians. God, help us to be consumed with fire, for the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, a desire to go and to tell others of this great, wonderful message so they can have the hope that we have for eternity. God, burn it in our hearts today. Burn it in our hearts, Holy Spirit, I pray. In the name of Jesus, every head's bowed and every eye's still closed, and everyone just remain still if you can for just a moment. Today, we're talking about the good news. Maybe you're here and you just need some good news. You haven't really come in line relationally with the Lord. You're doing it religiously, but you're not in really true relationship with the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity today just to receive this wonderful message, this life-giving message, where you can accept Jesus in your heart and understand that he has paid for everything that you've ever gone through or ever will go through. He's paid for it, that you could have life and that you could actually enjoy living like you've never known. You're here today and you know you need to pray a prayer like that of recommitting your life to the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer with me. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. If that's you, and you know that's you, I'd just like to know who I'm agreeing with. Would you just slip up a hand and you can put it right back down? Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these right now. Would you just pray this prayer if that's you? Just pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. By faith, I receive you. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. Come into my life. Be the Lord of all. Today, I surrender everything. I want you to come in and be the Lord of all. I want to be in right relationship with you. So today, I ask for your forgiveness, and by faith I accept you now. Thank you for new life today in Jesus' name. Lord, I celebrate every person that's just prayed that prayer in their heart. And I pray, God, that you would cause them to grow, develop, and God, be fulfilled in their purpose that's found in you only. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray, God, that you, O Lord, would breathe life over this church. That we would be a life-giving church. That we would catch this. God, it may seem like nothing's happened here in some of the hearts today. We may be sitting here saying, I've heard this before, but I'm asking this. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that something would begin to happen on a level that's never happened before. I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would cause their heart to begin to beat stronger and stronger. As they leave this place, Lord, I pray that there would be a passion that would build stronger and stronger for souls. I pray, God, you would deposit in our hearts a burden for souls, God. And let us see it. Let us be used of you to go out and to reach them. Enable us and strengthen the work of our hands that we may bring glory to your name and see your kingdom increase. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's give God praise for his word.